welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. Thanks for joining me. And thanks to Daryl and Lisa Kanafke with Midwest Plumbing and Heating, located on State Route 49, 10 miles west of Salina, on the web at MidwestPlumbingAndHeating.com. They're helping to make today's Mid-Morning possible. Don't forget that tomorrow is the last day to submit your cookie recipe for Mid-Morning's cookie contest. Go to the Mid-Morning homepage and click on Contact Mid-Morning to send your recipe. Becca and I will choose three winners to feature on the November 30th Kitchen Caboodle Mid-Morning. Winners receive a Yankee Candle courtesy of our friends at Yankee Candle in Glenbrook Square, a DeBrand's gift card, and the Women of Faith Rejoice CD. And tomorrow is also Mid-Morning's annual fall book giveaway. You can check out the list of books on the Mid-Morning homepage, make note of your favorites, and then call in tomorrow beginning at 10 o'clock. Tell us which book you'd like, and it's yours. It's that easy. If you don't have access to the internet, that's okay. When you call in, Beck and I will help you choose a book from our categories. I had the privilege of speaking at several women's events in the past few weeks, and at each of these events and at the Phillips Craig and Dean concert this past Friday, I kid you not, someone said to me, and I quote, "I love that guy you have on Mid-Morning. I learned so much from him." And I ask, "Mitch Cruz?" And the reply is, "Yes, Mitch Cruz. He helps me understand the Bible." Dr. Mitch Cruz is a regular guest on Mid-Morning, joining us the third Tuesday of the month. He's the author of Restoration Road and host of the weekly TV show The Restoration Road, broadcast locally on Sunday mornings at 7:30 on NBC 33, noon on MyFox TV, and 4 o'clock on ABC 21. To learn more about Mitch and his ministry, go to MitchCruz.com. Good morning, Mitch Cruz.
Good morning. It's such a pleasure to be here this morning with you and have another opportunity to wear black. And on the book giveaway, I was just thinking about the ads we could do. "We're stacking them deep and selling them cheap. We're giving the books away. Here, here on WBCO."
That's your Sunday.
Yes, exactly. I used to do advertisements like that all the time with Cruz International.
How many black shirts do you own?
I don't know.
Is it just one, and that's the one you wear every time you see us?
No, that's about all I have. I used to be really wild and colorful. I used to be really loud and colorful, and I just started liking the way I looked better in black. I think it's when I got bald. And
let me just say, your personality has stayed loud and colorful.
Yes, it has.
If your wardrobe has changed.
It has. But, yeah, just to give you an example, this particular shirt that I liked was on sale in black, and I couldn't believe how much they had reduced the price, and I loved the shirt. It was like a summer shirt. And so I said, you know, I only saw like one or two on the rack. I said, "Could I get like five of them?" And she says, "Yeah, we could get them in from other stores." I said, "At the same price?" She said, "Sure." Mm-hmm. I said, "Okay." She goes, "What colors do you want?" I said, black, black, and black. So it's like Susan always says, I take a very good thing and run it in the ground. I do it with cereals. Should we go back to cereals?
Go ahead. Go right and talk about cereal. We got you a big box of cereal last year. Do you remember?
Yes, you did. Yeah, chocolate Cheerios.
They're
really unbelievable, but I don't know. Reese's Puffs, I mean, I still keep coming back to. What do you like, Becca?
Wait, your mic's not on yet.
Oh, it wasn't up.
Okay, there you go.
I'm new here. I didn't know there were chocolate Cheerios.
Oh, Becca, you better run out tonight. I mean,
can I go now?
Yes.
No, you have to stay. Here's the thing about chocolate Cheerios that I learned from Mitch. You know how Jelly Bellies, the little jelly beans, people that are real connoisseurs of Jelly Bellies have combinations of flavors to create these sort of wonderful parties in your mouth?
Yeah, recipes.
Right. Well, yeah. Mitch does that with cereal. He's about combining cereal to have a incredible breakfast experience.
I would never have thought of that.
So
Told you
did the
box.
Yeah, what did you do last year? Your Reese Puffs with something else?
No, a listener did that.
Okay.
I just take something and run it in the ground, and then I go to the next one. And so I was running chocolate Cheerios into the ground. And right now I'm on a toast kick. I don't know why. It just happened one morning. I'll have toast, and I haven't stopped for a while.
You don't pour milk on that, do you?
Oh, no.
Okay, just making sure.
No, man, I know what number it has to be on that toaster. I know that I got to put two in, not one, or it'll burn the one. I got it all dialed in. And I know, like, when to put the butter on so it doesn't make it soggy. I got it dialed in.
Wow. So, Becca, do you have a favorite cereal or no?
Meyer has a... Well, because, you know, I buy off-brand everything. But they have, like,
Let's just stop there for a minute.
I'm too cheap to buy name brands.
Awesome.
But no, they have like a honey oat cluster. I don't know what it's supposed to be in real life, mm-hmm. but it's good. And it's usually on sale, which makes me happy.
I like honey bunches of oats.
Which is
like
maybe
flavor.
It's their
yeah it might be
their version of that. The first time we were doing a taste test and Becca had the shopping list and she came to my house, she had all store brand of everything, and I said, okay, Becca, maybe I should have said this to begin with, but when we do it, when we bake for mid morning or cook for mid morning, we use the name brands just because that was what the recipe was made from, and we want to duplicate that. Sometimes you can cross over into the store brand and there's no losing of flavor, but sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that you're frugal. I love that. It stretches the mid-morning budget.
That's right. I'm just here to help.
And be cautious with Cap'n Crunch. Not Captain, but Cap'n.
Oh, Cap'n Crunch.
It can hurt the roof of your mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
so you've got to be careful.
I lived on that in college.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It rubs it raw, but you don't care.
No.
Yeah, it has really got a good flavor. I think I'm going to have some tomorrow morning.
You're going to break away from the toast?
I might try it.
Wow.
Cap'n Crunch. I mean, just going back to that, I can taste it right now. It's really funny.
Do you need me to go get some? I'll buy the real thing.
You're just looking for a lot of reasons to leave right now.
I'm just kidding. I love it here.
You know, what's true with Will about Becca is that she has so many interests and it's so easy to distract her. Right, Becca?
Huh?
Hey. Which is why we have so much fun in our office.
So you have parallel conversations going on all the time.
All the time. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I'm usually talking to myself and she's talking to herself, and then sometimes we'll answer each other.
Oh.
Or she'll be talking and I will have left the room and I'll come back and she's still talking.
Oh.
She hasn't even noticed I've left.
She knows when I'm gone, it gets quiet.
Oh, yeah, it would. It would.
Yes. Well, people are probably wondering, is this in the book of Philippians?
Well, if you worry about what you're going to have for breakfast, yes, it is.
We've been walking through the book of Philippians, and today we finish our time in Paul's letter to the friends that he met on his second missionary journey. And if you missed the previous shows, they're available on the archive. And if you've got a smartphone, we have an app for that.
Mm.
I have the app. I love that. You can listen to the radio station on your smartphone. You can listen to mid-morning broadcasts, podcasts on your smartphone. So, and then if you don't have a smartphone, you can access them via our archive, download an MP3, and that will be true for today's show as well.
So I can go to the App Store for my iPhone and get the WBCL app?
Yes, you can.
Do that. Might do that while I'm here in the fast internet world.
So we're wrapping up. We're starting, are we in chapter 4?
Yes.
All right.
I'd like to ask you today, you know, if you're listening, have you ever worried? Are you worrying right now? When we worry, we misalign our hearts. And you can remember that the four chambers of the spiritual heart can be remembered in the acronym WISE, W-I-S-E, the will, intellect, spirit, and emotions. So just like the physical heart has four chambers, the spiritual heart has four chambers. And when we're worried, it kind of looks like this. And I hope you can connect with this, because this is the way it sort of works for me. Our emotions are stuck in the past because we've been hurt. Our wills are frustrated in the present because of unmet expectations. Our minds are focused on the future, afraid that it's not going to work out the way we thought. And our spirit, in the meantime, just kind of disconnects from that vertical connection to God, from that vitality of life that He has for us. So I want you to get those emotions. We're hurt, we're frustrated, and we're afraid. And that's what worry is. It's this misaligned, divided inner being. It's anxiety. It's one foot in with God and one foot out. And hurt, fear, and frustration are the primary emotions that we feel, usually some combination, before anger. And so this is really something significant that we need to surrender to Christ, because worry is the problem, prayer is the solution, and peace is the result. And when one piece of the heart is out of alignment, the whole thing hurts. And just like a misaligned spine needs adjusted, so our hearts need to be realigned in Christ. And that's what Paul discusses here in Philippians 4. He's going to tell us that prayer offers peace for worried hearts. Worry is the problem, prayer is the solution, peace is the result. And he gives us the prescription for peace with God, peace with others, and peace within ourselves, which is linked to joy peace is linked to joy all throughout the scriptures.
And what you've said, Mitch, illustrates why people say to me, I like that Mitch Cruz guy. He really helps me understand the Bible.
Well, it has to be a God thing because
it is.
It's not me. I know
it
that.
Really, really is. That you expand on the Word of God, or I'm not sure what the right word will be here, but you have a way of connecting what the Word of God says with the reality of life. And we can do that through study, but you have a special tuning with God that He speaks to you. And that illumination, I think, is a good word. And that's what you're sharing with us.
That's really nice and kind. I think it comes from two things, though. I lived many years of trying to apply everything I read in the Bible, reading it cover to cover every year, to my collector car auction life. And I think that had a huge effect on it. You know, I wasn't pushing one denomination, you know, or going down that road. I was saying, okay, God, make sense of this. I need restoration. Now help me, you know. And then I think the other thing is seminary does help on how to illustrate and apply. So that's a good thing.
I think it would.
Yeah, I think it would. So, you know, I had a really interesting conversation with somebody who I recognize many of the traits of myself, and I coached her as a young girl, and now she's helped coaching with us at Lakewood. She has a melancholy temperament, and so I said, you know, as I told her this yesterday, I said, I just realized how I can be happy. I can just flip a switch and be happy. I don't know why I hold on to things, why I want to worry about things. You know, I can just choose to be happy and in essence, on what we're talking about today, to be joyful. And it comes from connecting with God, surrendering these things to God, these little things that I just hold on for no reason. And so first Paul prescribed peace with God, and he communicated how. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Well, Mitch was doing it sometimes. And I think that's what we all do. And he didn't say sometimes, because see, too often we allow anxiety to overcome us and we go on autopilot, trusting in ourselves rather than God. So that's where worry starts coming from. You know, it literally is a divided inner being. We start thinking, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, I can't believe she said that to me. Oh, I can't believe he did that. And pretty soon we're robbed of the joy and peace found only in Christ, who discovered joy and suffering for us. It's interesting that Hebrews 12:2 says that he was joyful for the suffering that was set before him because he loves us. So I'm going to give you a little tool. Next time you worry, I'd like you to first thank God for the opportunity to find joy in him as you identify with the sufferings of Christ. So whatever it is, you can just say, God, thank you for an opportunity to grow in my intimacy with you. And remember the sufferings that Christ did for us. Because there's this character in the heart of God and what we've seen throughout Philippians so far, that we can be joyful. We can have that satisfaction of the heart connected with Christ, even amid suffering.
I don't know if you noticed when you were sort of listing off those things, like, well, she did this to me and whatever and whatever. But
was I the one that didn't do anything wrong?
No. That we do a lot of reacting.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of reacting. And you've talked about overcoming perfectionism or moving in that direction. Does that bent lead to worrying, being a perfectionist?
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, because you get caught in missing the forest through the trees. You start focusing on the details, and you want everything to be perfect and flawless, and it's just not that way. And we need to move from perfection to excellence. But there's a definite connection between worrying and that.
And mindset. Perfection and flawless, because sometimes that we look at that as meaning safety and security, not just because we want things to be perfect, because we like things lining up, gives us a sense of we know where we're headed, we know what's going to be waiting for us in the future, all of those things.
Yeah, and the safety and security doesn't come, it's an illusion, because it doesn't come from flawlessness. I'm kind of having an aha moment here right now, but it really comes for me in the truth of who Christ is, and that the truth is, I'm going to have flaws. People around me are going to have flaws. They're going to be difficult in relationships. There's going to be challenges. Things don't work out the way that we think they will or that we expect, because we live in a fallen, finite, frail world. And so now you can be released and free from having to have everything be perfect and flawless. And you can now engage in the way things really are, and that the only solid foundation is Christ.
It's 10:15. You're listening to Mid-Morning on the WBCL Radio Network. I'm Lynn Ford, along with that guy, and who has a name. It's Mitch Cruz. And we'll open the phone lines for your questions at about 10:30. If worry is something that just really robs you of joy in life and robs you of living the life that God has given to you and entrusted to you and blessed you with, we'd like to take your questions starting at 10:30 via phone. But you can begin to email us now, midmorninglive@wbcl.org, or on Facebook. You can like us via our Facebook page at wbcl.org. A big thanks to Daryl and Lisa Kanapke with Midwest Plumbing and Heating, located on State Route 49, 10 miles west of Salina, and on the web at midwestplumbingandheating.com. That was sort of like Chariots of Fire.
Yes, it's exactly what it was.
You know,
that's what I was doing.
Because Mitch was, simulating the run down the beach.
In slow motion.
Yes. No mud flying up on your white. They're running in white. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
The guys on the beach running on the muddy beach in white.
Instead of black.
So that you could see that. All right. We talked about peace with God. Let's talk about peace with others.
Would you like to have peace with others today? Paul said, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. God's proximity to us is as close as the air that is in and around us. Now, some scholars will say.
I'm going to stop you right there and have you remind us of the Genesis passage of God's breath.
Oh, sure. When God breathed life into the clay, in our English translations, we have a tendency to miss that what a Hebrew scholar recently said is going on there in the Hebrew language. We have a tendency to think God breathed in it once, and there it became life. And he goes, go, that's great. But in the Hebrew, it connotes an actual continual inhaling and exhaling, which means that God was a God of restoration from the very beginning, before the first sin. And Jesus said, our Father in heaven, Uranos in Greek, can mean the stars in the sky, can mean where we go when we die, or it can mean the air that is as close, that's in us and around us. And so some scholars want to say the Lord is near means that his return is coming. But I think contextually, there's a pretty strong argument that it means he's close right now. And when we have peace with God in our hearts, I think we can't miss this. When we have peace with God in our hearts, he frees us to have peace with others through gentleness rather than harshness, because we don't have to be the judge anymore. We don't have to have everything work out in our favor. We don't have to control it. Now, gentleness is power under the Spirit's control. And Solomon, who was an advocate of gentleness, I just read Proverbs 15:1 this morning about how a gentle answer turns away wrath and a harsh word stirs up anger. He taught that there's joy for those who promote peace. It's Proverbs 12:20. There's joy for those who promote peace. And so that would be in relationships with others, to look for, to seek out reconciliation. Reconciliation and peace are the same terms. And continuing that, an anxious heart weighs a man down. So when we worry, it's going to weigh us down. It's weighing other people down. In fact, you don't have to go through too many appointments during your day to see how many people are so weighed down by anxiety and worry, and sure, difficult things are happening. But Paul's saying, hey, you know what? You can experience peace with God. You can experience peace in relationships. And he said this. He said, Solomon said, a kind word cheers up the other guy. It's Proverbs 12:25. So while anxiety weighs people down, a kind word can cheer them up. So next time you worry, not only thank God for the opportunity to find joy in him, but also surrender any harshness to the Holy Spirit and be soft with others, even when it's difficult to do so. And use kind words to promote peace and joy. I can't tell you how powerful the right word at the right time is. I posted on Facebook today. Proverbs talks about it a lot. And I've had some of those in the last 24 hours as I'm living life, thinking through these scriptures. And I'm realizing what goes on inside me with the right word at the right time. I mean, it does promote peace and joy. Kind words of affirmation, yes. Building people up.
The ancient Greeks thought that kindness, they thought so highly of it, that it was a trait that only the gods had and had to give to humans because it was that valuable.
Mm.
And that says so much about kindness. And we've talked about this before, Mitch, that sometimes particular fruits of the spirit, gentleness being one, kindness being another, we sort of look at them as sort of soft things, almost passive things. But let me just repeat what you said about gentleness, the definition of it. Gentleness is power under the spirit's control, power under the spirit's control. And kindness, again, is one of those things that our greatest example is God. It's giving to someone what they can't get for themselves. And for God doing for us, sending salvation for us, something we couldn't do for ourselves. So here he is, our perfect example of kindness and what kindness can do for someone.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is kind. And so when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, which is really spirit control, and the character traits of the Holy Spirit, it says, you know, and these things are available to us. They're there. And so we have to harden our hearts to the Spirit in us when we're believers in order to be harsh. And that's... we need to surrender that harshness and experience the gentleness of God who's dwelling in us. And it can transform relationships, absolutely transform relationships.
What you said just reminded me of a verse that we find early in Philippians. It's in the first chapter, the 11th verse. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, and the reason for them. For this will bring much glory and praise to God, because what else could explain what is going on in us?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's so powerful. Yeah. Well, we want peace with God. Got to have that first. Peace with others. It's a picture of the cross, you know, the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others. We want to live in that sweet spot. But we need peace within ourselves. And Paul prescribed that peace within ourselves when he wrote that we should not worry about anything. Not anything. Rather, we should pray about everything so that Christ would align our hearts with his. And it gives us perfect peace. See, anxiety's misaligned inner being divides trust between God and ourselves, which actually pains our hearts. I really want you to get that today. Mm-hmm. That taking trust away from God and start putting it on ourselves pains our hearts. That's what hurts. That's misaligned, that inner being. Prayer is worry's antidote because it places our trust solely in Christ. I've described prayer as being online with God. And in that online connection, he shapes our desires to be like his because we upload our requests and he downloads his presence. Worry is the problem. Prayer is the solution. Peace is the result. So what I'd like you to do, this is really simple. If you don't get anything we say today, I really want you to get this. Next time you worry, pray. When you worry, pray. Go online with God and upload your request to him. Lay it all out there like David did in the Psalms. And he will download his presence and you will experience the peace of your heart aligned with his. And that's how we were designed. Mm-hmm. And it's important that you understand this is just the way things are. It's just, we were hardwired for this connection, this fiber optic line to God.
And I would suggest even memorizing these verses in Philippians,
mm-hmm.
chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I love the New Living Translation. These two verses have just in the past 6 months with Shar saying she was leaving early, with Jamie saying she was leaving, with the transitioning to Becca. These verses, I mean, I would pray these verses out loud. And this is the New Living Translation, and I've shared it before, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this is not anything that you need to ignore. It's powerful living stuff. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for all he has done. If you will do this, you will experience the peace of God, which is far greater than the human mind can understand. And God's peace will keep your mind and heart as you live in Christ Jesus. If you memorize any verses in Scripture, I would say start with that one. And, you know, memorization of Scripture is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. to bring those verses up, and because they're already in your heart, and he reminds you of them and expands on them and blows life into them. It's amazing how you will experience God himself in living your life when you've memorized scripture. He fleshes it out in front of you.
Did you grow up singing, "I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart"?
Where?
Oh, yeah, you did. And you know, "I got the peace that passeth understanding
down in my heart."
Oh, I thought I was going to say where.
Well, I was after you got that part in.
I remember in 1992 reading through the Bible for the very first time. My life was a mess. And I got to these verses. And I'm sensitive anyway. I mean, I almost broke down when I realized that I got the peace that passeth understanding where down in my heart came from these verses. Mm-hmm. And that it's in the context of prayer, of being online with God. That's where we experience his peace. Mm-hmm. And he guards our heart. The imagery there is he guards our heart like a military fortress.
Stand sentry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's... I mean, think about that. The God of the universe will guard your heart. This is big. And I think prayer is the most powerful thing that we can tap into, yet it seems like the first thing to go. Mm-hmm. I heard Henry Nouwen speak before he passed away, just before he passed away. And he talked about solitude, community, and then out of those two flow ministry. And he said, so many of us try to do ministry. And then when it doesn't work, we sit around the table and say, okay, guys, in community, why isn't this working? And then we go in solitude and start praying and say, okay, what happened, God? And he said Jesus' model was solitude with God, so peace with God, community, peace with others, and then ministry, that peace within himself that allowed him to connect others with God. And so, you know, Christ is the peace of God, Ephesians 2:14. He's made the two one. And so when we are online with him, that peace, his Holy Spirit that he gives us, the person of who he is, comes into our lives, and we can experience peace and joy amidst any trial in any circumstance. And we're going to have an example of that next month.
Yes, indeed. December 20th, when Mitch returns for his December show on mid-morning. I heard Pam Tebow speak at the Hope Center Banquet last year.
Oh, I heard she was good.
She was phenomenal. She's Tim Tebow's mom, mm-hmm. who plays for Denver now and was a Heisman Trophy winner. And she was sharing how when their kids were little, they really wanted their children to learn the Word of God. And teaching young children to memorize Scripture, it takes so much repetition. And she set every Bible verse that she taught her kids to songs. She made songs out of them. Mm. And she sang some of them for us, and she said she's pretty much tone deaf. It was so cute to hear her sing. Uh-huh. But that's one of the reasons why her children know the Word of God as adults now, and why the Word of God is so present in them. And if you've watched Tim Tebow live his life in front of the camera, mm-hmm. this is a young man who's under a microscope all the time. Mm-hmm. But he's empowered by the Word of God. So I throw that out to you this morning, because maybe you're saying, I've tried memorizing Scripture and it's really hard. And, you know, it is repetition. You have to refresh yourself with it. But we all know that songs stick with us.
We can
sing a lot of jingles that we heard growing mm-hmm. up. So set some verses to music.
It's a good idea. Music affects our memory mm-hmm. because of our central nervous system. Well, Paul focuses now on these Christ-like qualities. And so it's funny you talk about memorizing Scripture, because I'm going to give you a little way to memorize this. And he says, you know, take your mind. So it's interesting that he's kind of in the context of prayer here. And he says, now take your mind and focus on what is, I'm going to tell you how to remember this. It's a TNT. Pure layup. TNT, pure layup. So TNT, true, noble, right. I'm picking up the T on the end of right. So TNT, right. Pure is the word that he uses. And then layup, L-A-E-P, lovely, admirable, excellence, praiseworthy. Now, I want to share this insight I had with you as I was studying this. These are all characteristics of Christ. And so I thought, well, wait a minute. What would the opposite be? Mm-hmm. And as I would study the scriptures on the opposite, I realized that they were characteristics of Satan. So, for example, we should focus on what is true, Christ is the truth, rather than what's false, Satan's the father of lies. On what's noble, not useless.
Now, define noble. If the opposite of noble is useless, I always think of noble as being...
It's useful for a higher purpose,
okay.
A good purpose.
All right.
Yeah. Right, not wicked. Righteous, you know, not wicked. Pure, instead of mixed. So pure means fully surrendered, wholly devoted. It's a picture of a precious metal being without impurities. But mixed is, I'm gonna trust in me a little bit. I'm gonna trust in something else other than God. Lovely, rather than selfish. Admirable. Over shameful, excellent in lieu of mediocre, and praiseworthy over accusatory. I think I just want to do a little sidebar here, a little soapbox. I think we got to really be careful of accusatory language because it is a tool of Satan. So we really, really need to be careful with that. He is an accuser. And so Paul vividly anchored the scale for our thoughts, and we should focus on what's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and then scholars say that excellence and praiseworthy, though in the structure of the grammar there, is actually referring to all of them. It's going back and saying all these things are excellent and praiseworthy. Think on these things. So I remember trying to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, and I memorized these verses too. And so I was working on memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. I was on an airplane, and I had this huge aha moment. Because I used to think that what goes on in my mind was just a reflection of what comes to me or what was in front of my eyes. And all of a sudden I realized that, wait a minute, no matter where I am, no matter what I do, I can dwell on these things. And I also remember another thought. Well, now that you're memorizing, you've got to learn how to apply them, you know. But I really want you to get that there's this peace within ourselves that we can experience as we surrender our minds to Christ and our thoughts to Christ and take every thought captive and make it obedient to Him, eliminating all pretense, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:5, but having that knowledge, that intimacy with God. And so I'd encourage you to maybe memorize these lists of Christ-like character traits, remembering that we practice what we ponder, and practice makes perfect peace.
Ooh, say that again.
We practice what we ponder. And practice makes perfect peace.
It's 10:32. You're listening to Mid-Morning on the WBCL Radio Network, and we're opening the phone lines for your questions this morning. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's what goes on in your head, the thoughts that you think. Whatever it is, Mitch can give you some direction this morning. 260-745-9090 is our number. 260-745-9090. Email is midmorninglive@wbcl.org. And Facebook is another way that you can ask questions this morning. Thank you, General Credit Union, four locations throughout Fort Wayne, for helping to make our conversation with Mitch Cruz possible. It is, it's like a toga party in here when that song plays, but only when Mitch is here.
Well, he knows the joy that are in these people.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. 260-745-9090 is our number. Why don't we move into, continue with this conversation, talk about contentment.
Yeah, contentment.
And then we'll take phone calls as they come.
Yeah, contentment literally means held together. And inside each one of us, we want to be held together. So I want to ask you a question, Lynn. Who's more content, the guy with $1 million or the guy with 10 children?
How do you know?
Well, it's the guy with 10 children because he doesn't want any more. And so to be content, we got to realize that...
Wait a minute. How do you know? The Duggars just are having their 20th baby. You don't know those things.
It was merely conjecture.
Okay.
It was merely conjecture. And a funny story. So I'd ask, you know, what's the secret to contentment? Because Paul's going to address this. Mm-hmm. What's the secret to contentment? 2,000 years ago, Stoic philosophers...
You don't realize
what that made me think of. It made me think of something funny my cousin Kenny does.
So, did you say...
I don't know what I said. What?
Were you saying Stoic philosophers?
Just a minute. I need a moment to myself. Philosophers, and I said philosophers.
Like falafel.
Yeah, exactly. They would refer to contentment as self-sufficiency, or to be independent of external circumstances. And Paul knows that. and he's connecting with his audience. Contentment literally means to be held together, and each side, one of us, we all have that desire to have it all held together. Mm-hmm. But Paul closed this letter to the church at Philippi describing the secret to attaining this inner peace, and it was to trust in the giver, not the gifts. So first, Paul taught that the secret of freedom from allowing circumstances to control our emotions is to trust the giver, who is Christ. And Paul thanked the church for their gift to his ministry to advance the kingdom of Christ, and he noted that he had learned, whether in plenty or in want, that the secret to contentment was that he could do all things through Christ, who gave him strength. And we want to grasp that word through. Every circumstance, whether we win, lose, or draw, is an opportunity to grow in our intimacy with Christ as we live through our Restorer. Gives me strength. He restores me. And true inner peace only comes in Christ when we are fully surrendered to Christ. And in essence, Paul described contentment not as self-sufficiency, but as Christ-sufficiency. He is enough. And I've learned that when we're worrying or experience anxiety, we tend to want Holy Spirit plus or Holy Spirit minus. But I continually, what ministers to me is when I actually say the words to God, your Holy Spirit is enough for me. Christ's sufficiency. That's all. And I think back to what he restored me from and how he did that and how I didn't want anything else. That's because I realized at that moment, that's exactly who I was designed to be, is to be fully surrendered to him. And that's where we experience the peace. Philippians 4:13 was my basketball verse, and my teammates and I would kind of get around, and I'd open that before our games, and we'd just read it, and we did this little thing. We had a little devotional time. We were undefeated with one pastor. I'll never forget that, but this is something we did on our own, and I used to read this verse as, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, as I have a magic wand, and I can accomplish whatever I want to accomplish because of Christ. And then, as a recovering workaholic, money addict, materialist, who had lost everything, I realized that the importance of this word through, that wait a minute, he's saying that the secret to contentment is that I get to do everything in life through Christ, who restores me, who gives me strength. And I thought, wow, that means he'll walk through the tough times with me and restore me. That means he's not just the God of the mountain, he's the God of the valley. And I was sharing this idea with a Division I athlete recently, and I had a huge game coming up, was going to be televised internationally. And I said, hey, what's your pregame Bible application going to be? And he said, I don't know. You got any ideas? And I shared the acronym PLAY, the PLAY, that I felt like God gave me for Megan at one point in her softball career in college. And it was, the P is pray. The L is learn, take a Bible verse and learn it. And the A is apply it inside the four lines of competition. And Y is yield the outcomes to God, because that's where we really struggle. We want to control the outcomes, but we can only control our input to the process. And I said, so let's start with Philippians 4:13. And I shared everything that I just shared with you. And I got a text back that said, wow, that verse is hanging around my neck. And I said, that, my friend, is a God thing. So I'm encouraging you today in the sport of life, wherever you are, to realize that you can trust in the giver, not the gifts. In fact, one little test to do that is to just ask yourself, how many times have you stopped during your day and asked God for his guidance in making any decision? Because we have a tendency to go on autopilot and not really do that because we think we already know. But sometimes when you ask, you realize that maybe you were going in a direction where you had one foot in and one foot out with God. And so I'd encourage you to try the Philippians 4:13 experiment. Make it a tag around your neck and do everything through Christ, who will restore your heart. And picture your day, whatever it is you are doing, as doing it through Christ.
Mm. Let's head to the phones and talk with Suzette first. Hi, Suzette.
Hi.
Good morning. Do you have a question for Mitch?
Yes, I am so worried. I lived in this apartment for 20-some years, and they didn't want me to sign the lease for the next year, so I had to take it to the Metro Human Relations in Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And So then I was able to stay there because of the Metro. But I found a place. I bought a house, and I'm now living in this house on DuPont, off of DuPont.
All right. And what's your question, Suzette?
Well, I got a letter from them saying that I owe almost $1,000, and they have to repair things. I didn't damage the apartment at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're charging me for paint because I smoked. It smelled up the place. And I just am worried. I don't know. I can't afford to be spending that much money for them. I'm just worried about it.
Okay. You need both practical and you also need some spiritual advice, I hear you saying, Suzette. So,
yeah.
Mitch, what could you offer to Suzette this morning?
Well, what Paul's saying here is the trust in the giver, not the gifts. And I've had the same thing happen to me just recently. I had a misunderstanding, let's say, with an organization who thought I owed them money. And I had the same feeling you did. I thought, I don't have time for this. This is a hassle. In this case, I was right and they were wrong. And I found myself going through a process of, for a minute, trusting in the gifts. It's going to be how I perform in this situation. It's going to be about protecting my money. I'm going to have to trust in a person, you know, another attorney now to get this fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a misunderstanding. It was a miscalculation. And so inside, for that inner peace, like Paul's talking about, I had to make a shift, a paradigm shift, from stop trusting in the gifts and start trusting in the giver. And so that leads, that prayer to God leads to this peace that you experience, almost like there's this big storm around you. You're on a boat, but your boat's really calm. It's kind of like there's this calm sea as you go through it. Now, at the same time, if I had, and I've had this as well happen to me, if I contributed to the problem, if I made a mistake, if I was a catalyst to the conflict in my life, then I would own that and say, okay, these are consequences that might come my way for doing that, but I can still trust God in that valley and pray to Him and fire up the specific requests that I have, mm-hmm. and then make my muscles move with my prayers in obedience and go seek wise counsel, get into the Word of God, pray to the Spirit of God, and bring a positive solution, a plan to the outcome. And so in your case, I would want you to tap into the peace that's available to you through prayer, no matter what your circumstances. And then secondly, from a practical standpoint, I would encourage you to go find somebody mm-hmm. who can be wise counsel for you, whether it's an attorney or a business guy or even the landlord at your current apartments, and talk to them face to face and just kind of lay it out there. If it's the case, I don't have this money. Maybe I won't smoke inside anymore if that's what you want. I have this friend who can come repaint. I have this service who will come and do the cleaning and take away the smell. But that's how we make our muscles move with our prayers and work with the community of God to bring a wise process to the situation.
Excellent. We have a call from Donna as well. Donna, good morning. You're on the air with Mitch Cruz and Lynn. Do you have a question for Mitch?
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Mitch.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Just fine. I'm in a quandary this morning. I've heard it said many times, and it's been quoted, that the Bible says that we're to take our every thought under captivity. No one's ever explained to me what that means or how you do it.
I'm so glad you called, Donna. You know what? It's funny. You asked that question, and I had written down the same thing to ask Mitch that as he was talking about it. So you got to it before I did. Thank you for calling, and Mitch will answer you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Now I want your week's pay, Lynn.
Oh, well, wow.
That's funny.
Thank you, Donna. Go right ahead, Mitch.
Well, he says in that verse to not have pretense. And he has this word about knowledge. So we pretend that we can be God and restorer in our own lives. And we need to experience the knowledge, which is intimacy. It's an experience of our inner being with God's, in order to not have that happen, to experience authenticity, the other end of that spectrum, to reflect the design of the designer. And so to do that, because of sin in this world, when a thought comes to us, we need to wrap that up in a package as if it's a Christmas gift and hand it to Christ and say, here, take this thought and make it obedient to you. So we capture it and we offer it to him so that he can change it or correct it, because the mind runs wild. Mm-hmm. We can, I used to be an auctioneer, and they used to say how fast, experts say how fast, how many words a second we think and how many words a second we speak. And sometimes I could speak faster than people think. I remember looking at that little statistic. But thoughts come to us. The mind is an unbelievable concept. And thoughts just come to us from every angle, and images for guys create thoughts because they're quite visual. Sounds for women create thoughts because they're more auditory. And so it's really important that we're willing to take a thought and surrender it to Christ. And I want to say why. Almost every emotion is a result of a belief that comes from a thought. So our emotions are actually a function of our beliefs. And if we can take these thoughts and identify them and wrap them up and hand them to Christ and say, here, you restore that, then we can actually experience joy and peace that we have never experienced had we not done that. Does that make sense?
It does. Can you give me an example from your own life, Mitch, and how this looks, or what it looks like in everyday life?
Sure. Let's say I'm in a discussion and the other person gets kind of heated, maybe fires off an insult. I now have some thoughts that come to me. Mm-hmm. I have a thought that I want to retaliate. I'm now, especially in a close relationship like a marriage, you know, we're vulnerable with each other. You now just hurt me. I'm now going to hurt you. I'm going to find something else. We can, in that moment, do Proverbs 12:16 that says, the Bible actually tells us to ignore the insult. We can deflect that and look into the heart and say, what's really going on there? What were the words trying to describe? And so I try to do that rather than retaliate. I don't get it down all the time. But the only way that happens is not by my own muscles of ignoring insults, by being a really good ignorer of insults. It happens by taking that thought captive and surrendering to Christ on the fly. And then my emotions can change because I'm tapped into the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Let's head back to the phones. We'll take a call from Sarah and Carla, and then we'll wrap up. All right, Mitch?
Okay.
Starting with Sarah, who's calling us from Lima. Sarah, thank you so much for holding. You're on the air. What's your question for Mitch?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've really been enjoying everything that's been said. And I guess my question is, my life in the past pretty much 10, 11 months has kind of fallen apart in on a lot of levels that I won't go into, but a lot of changes, drastic changes, and more probable changes to come. And I guess my question is, where is the balance between thinking about the future, thinking about decisions that are most likely going to need to be made, and some of the changes that are coming, and not going into that panic, worry mode that I so often seem to revert into.
Sure.
Sarah, I'm going to leave you on the air with us in case Mitch wants to ask you some questions to clarify things for him as he's answering your question.
Okay.
All right?
Are the challenges relationship-oriented or finance-oriented?
Yes. I'm currently separated from my husband. I've also walked away from a church and lifestyle that I was born and raised in. I'm now almost 40. There's just been... it's been a lot. It's just really been a lot. And there's some decisions coming up, you know, that it's... You just... I find myself really dragging my day-to-day if I let it, but yet things that maybe haven't come up that I need to make decisions about. So I'm just, it's hard. I just am trying to live in the moment and yet find that balance with being able to think about the future too.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Are you willfully walking away from community in Christ, or are you walking away from a church because of your separation from that particular
ministry? I'm walking away from a church because it's basically a cult.
Okay. All right.
I am currently in a wonderful church and just coming to a wonderful relationship with God, but having to leave a very strict, conservative, cultish lifestyle.
Okay. The answer to your question is, I know that I'm improperly focusing on the future when it robs me of the present. It's kind of like in sports when an athlete makes a mistake and starts dwelling on that mistake in the past, starts thinking about the next opportunity and never lives in the present. And so that one past mistake robbed them of another success because their mind wasn't focused in the present.
Okay.
And so I give people, especially young athletes, a picture of an Etch-a-Sketch. And I said, do you ever play with an Etch-a-Sketch? You know, that thing from Ohio Art, and you turn the knobs and you make the lines. And they said, yeah. And I said, well, how did you erase what was on there? And the kid will always say, you shake it off. I said, that's what I'm asking you to do. You got to shake it off. And so, Sarah, when you're worried, you got to shake it off. And if Jesus talked about planning, Proverbs talks about planning, there's nothing wrong with looking toward the future, because I'm a vision guy and I love that. But when it robs us of the present, when we can't bloom where we're planted, then it's hindering what God has designed for us. Because at the end of the day, we can't live in the past, we can't live in the future, we can only live in the present. So what I would encourage you to either memorize the Philippians 4, 6, and 7, or Philippians 4, 8, and 9, or maybe even 4, 13. And I'm going to drop down to 19. So I'd pick whatever verses in there really would apply best to you, and I would repeat those to yourself every single time that you find yourself starting to worry. And then again, kind of like I shared previously, I think you should have a plan on how you're going to get through this. Maybe have somebody further down the road in faith than you walk through this with you. If there's a possible opportunity for reconciliation, if you could do that.
Yeah.
If you need to forgive or be forgiven.
Right.
Forgiveness always precedes reconciliation, but reconciliation doesn't always follow forgiveness, because reconciliation takes two. And just know that every day you're taking a step toward where God wants you to be. You're on the journey, on the path that He wants you to be. And then you'll start experiencing this peace after little wise choice is followed by little wise choice by little wise choice. Does that help at all?
Yes, it does. It really does. Good words. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Sarah.
And Sarah, I've also heard others say, in a situation like yours, when you've got, it's like somebody's taken your life and tossed it up in the air. Every part of your life has been affected.
Yes.
That just writing down the things that you're thinking of, that will need to be addressed, just having them on paper and getting them out of your head, it sort of relieves the pressure that you're feeling to be mindful of everything and
everything,
having to remember everything. And when you see them on paper, then you can sort of begin to say, okay, which of these are really pressing that do need to be taken care of right away? And that can be very helpful.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So
all right.
I will definitely try that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
We're going to wrap up with Carla, who's calling from Bryan. Carla, thank you for holding on. What's your question for Mitch?
I don't have a question. I just have a comment.
All right.
I just want to thank you for your program today. It just confirms everything that the Lord's been ministering to me in the past 2 weeks. My daughter has been going through a hard time, and I worry. But in all, the Lord showed me last week that in Philippians, the very scripture you ministered today really touched my heart. And this morning I was reading, and I come across that scripture again, and then I heard your program. And I was like, boy, Lord, are you ever ministering to me? And I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, we just thank Jesus that His timing is always perfect, isn't it, Carla?
Oh, yes, it is.
Well,
so
dear,
I really do appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You are welcome. Dear Carla, stay on the line. I'm going to have Mitch pray for you. And what's your daughter's name?
Benita.
Benita. All right.
God, I thank you for Carla and for her deep concern that she hurts to the core for her daughter, Benita. And God, I just pray that every time Carla and Benita would pray to you, that they would experience the peace that passes all human understanding and that you would guard their hearts like a military fortress. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Mitch, we've got about 4 minutes left,
okay.
So why don't you use that to wrap up our study in the book of Philippians.
Well, isn't it interesting, Lynn, how Paul moves from the heart to our resources? And so he now says, don't trust in the gifts. And everything that we've talked about today in all of our illustrations, we start trusting in our time, talent, and treasure instead of the giver. And that's so easy to do. And charlatan philosophers of Paul's day would stand on street corners of cities like Philippi, gathering followers with their good looks, their expensive clothes, and their articulate speech in hopes of laying siege to the money of the unsuspecting citizens. And Paul painted the church's gift to him as radically different from money given to the selfish philosophers because he did not benefit financially. Instead, the money was used to advance the kingdom of Christ. Paul called followers of Christ to be content enough to give their time, talent, and treasure to this cause, describing this generosity as a fragrant offering pleasing to the giver of life and its resources. And he concluded with one of the most powerful, powerful verses in Scripture that he would have gotten as the teaching of Jesus. And it's Philippians 4:19. He says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ." Paul believed not only in God's restoration of hearts, but also in his restoration of resources. A friend of mine farther down the road than I am says that as long as I'm on this side, I'm immortal. Until he takes me home, I'm immortal. So I'm here until he wants me to be. And so it kind of gives a whole different perspective to life. And so when you find yourself behaving as if you're trusting in the gifts and not the giver, ask God to transform your heart because life flows from the inside out. And trust in the giver, not the gifts, by being content enough to take a risk. Mm-hmm. Give a little bit of your time, talent, and treasure as an experiment to eventually give it all to someone in need to advance his kingdom. You want to give it all to Christ and say, here, you know, I want my life to be a ministry. I want 168 hours to be a ministry, not just one. And you might give to a church, you might give to a Christian school, you might give to a Christian radio station like this, you know, you might give to a youth organization, or you might just spend time with a young person needing guidance. I'm telling you, Philippians 4 is one of the most applicable passages in all of Scripture. It is amazing. And if you're really struggling with joy, I'm going to encourage you to do something I've encouraged people to do over the years, and it's transformed their lives. I would encourage you to read Philippians, and if you think those four chapters are too many to read every day, I'd encourage you at least read Philippians 4 every day for 30 days. And just ask God to transform your heart, because it's amazing what the Word of God through the Spirit of God does to transform the people of God. Worry is the problem. Prayer is the solution. Peace is the result. When we take up Paul's challenge, we can experience peace with God, peace with others, and peace within ourselves, discovering that true contentment in Christ's sufficiency, not in self-sufficiency, but it lies in Christ's sufficiency. He's enough. Fully surrendering our lives to Christ brings us joy that empowers us to trust in the giver, not the gifts, generously sharing with others in need because we believe in God's restoration of our hearts and our resources. Generation and generosity come from the same root word, and they mean to multiply kind. When we are generous with our time, talent, and treasure, we're multiplying God's heart in others.
To quote the Barlow Girls song, "All of you, Jesus, is more than enough for all of me." More than enough. Thank you, General Credit Union, with four locations throughout Fort Wayne. These good friends have helped to make our conversation with Mitch Cruz possible. Just a reminder that if you have a smartphone, there's an app for BCL that you can listen to the station. You can also listen to podcasts of mid-morning. We also have every show on our archive that you can listen to for free and download as an MP3. And if you'd like a CD, those are just still $5. Mitch will be back with us on December 20th. Until then, thanks for listening today. Stay tuned for more of the music that you love that feeds your soul on family-friendly and commercial-free WBCL.